Fantasy Docs Nation, what's going on, guys? I'm here with your Week 8 injury update. So we had a good amount of injuries that happened again this past week. So what we're going to do is start again by going through them by position. We'll start off with Patrick Mahomes. And the theory on him is that it seems like he's going to return on the earlier end of his projected timeout. He's going to come back around that 3-week mark. There's reports that said that he would have been able to play if this was a playoff game. And just to clear up some stuff about a patella subluxation, so you are able to diminish that pain pretty significantly with Toradol injections, which are basically like a really strong ibuprofen injection. You can use a Metrol dose pack, which is oral steroids, to decrease the inflammation. And you can get a couple of other kind of injections / medications that can control the pain. But the issue isn't the pain. It's the risk of that kneecap repeating that dislocation. And he was pretty lucky to get out of it without any major ligament or meniscus damage. So although I do applaud his grit trying to get back out there, it does seem to be prudent to make sure that you're fully healed. Make sure that those stabilizing ligaments have calm down inflammation-wise, and the swelling has gone down, reducing the risk of a repeat dislocation. Although, regardless of how long he waits, after you dislocate the first time, there is a pretty significant chance of around 40% chance of repeat dislocation. So, likely going to have some kind of stabilizing surgery in the offseason. Seems like he is pushing to come back on the earlier end. I still think he's not going to come back this week, but he will likely be back the week before the bye. If not, then he will almost certainly be back after the bye. Next up, we have the Cardinals running back situation, which screwed me over, to put it mildly, because I had David Johnson, and I started him last week, and he promptly was not played the entire game. So I was like, all right, cool. I still got Edmonds. Edmonds went off. And then Edmonds injures his hamstring and also has an all-around terrible game this week. And it seems like both of them are going to be out for a while because they have signed Kenyon Drake. So Chase Edmonds, they've already come out and said he has a pretty significant hamstring strain, which will hold him out for a couple weeks. So I don't even think he's a hold candidate. I would drop him if you have him. David Johnson, I think he does return in probably about 3 weeks. It seems like he's dealing with a high ankle sprain. I know he had that back issue, but that is almost certainly back spasms, which doesn't usually limit play. As you probably saw my post and heard me talk about before, I had no issues with guessing he was going to play with his back issue, which he did play through. But then he ended up injuring that ankle. And the ankle is actually what worried their coach and what caused them to be very cautious with him. And that's usually not the case with low ankle sprains, so it makes me very suspicious that he had a high ankle sprain, which will keep him out about 3 to 4 weeks. So you can expect him to be back on that timeline. I would keep a hold of him, although I'm not really sure what kind of timeshare may be going on when he returns. He still is worth stashing. Next, we're going to talk about James Conner. And a lot of people are really upset about James Conner injury because they felt like the Steelers game was already out of hand and there was no reason for James Conner to be even playing when he encountered the injury near the end of the game. It seems like he's going to be out for maybe 1 or 2 practices this week, but I actually think that there's a really good shot of him suiting up this week. He had what's called an AC joint separation, which is an acromioclavicular separation, and that's where that clavicle bone meets the shoulder blade bone. And what happens in an AC joint sprain is a couple things, depending on the grade. So if it's a grade 1, actually nothing is really torn. There's no ligaments that are torn. There's just a significant amount of inflammation to that ligamentous capsule that surrounds that AC joint. What happens in a grade 2 is that AC ligament actually tears. And in a grade 3, the AC ligament along with the coracoclavicular ligaments are also torn, and grade 4 to 6 are pretty severe. That shows significant elevation of that clavicle bone compared to that acromion bone, and usually requires surgery as well too. So with James Conner, they already called him limited, which means that they're planning on him playing some practices this week. That would not be the case in anything outside of a grade 1. So he's dealing with a grade 1 sprain. These are pretty painful, but they can definitely be played through. Once again, with some of the pain control techniques that I talked about in regards to Mahomes, those can also be applied to the AC joint sprain. I actually had one of these last year while snowboarding, and it is painful, especially at night when you're lying down on that shoulder. When you hit the ground, there's usually, without any kind of ability to throw out your arm, and you hit directly on that shoulder, it's usually either a shoulder separation or it could be a broken collarbone as well too. Now, if he had a broken collarbone or if there was any signs of elevation of that clavicle, then he would not be even attempting to practice this week, which is why really the only option of the injury that he has is a grade one. And like I said before, even in high school and college football, the maximum usually you see a grade one held out is 1 to 2 weeks. So at the professional level, I would imagine that James Conner would be playing through this pain for this week's coming up game. Something else about AC joint sprains is a lot of times people get put in slings, and a sling's okay for about a week, but after that, it's really important to work on range of motion. There's an increased chance of getting significant stiffness and decreased range of motion the longer you stay in that sling. So those slings should really only be used for comfort in almost all injuries, and it's the sooner that you can get out of wearing a sling, the better for your overall recovery. Let's talk about Alvin Kamara. So the last 2 weeks I've called that Alvin Kamara is going to sit out, and he has ended up sitting out, and hopefully you've been able to capitalize on having Latavius Murray because he has put up pretty solid numbers. So he was on the border technically, but he didn't suit up practice all week. And like I've said before, the minimum time usually that a high ankle sprain takes to recover is that 3 to 4 week mark. So he doesn't have a game this week. I would definitely expect him to be back on week 10 unless we hear some news about a significant setback. I think that they were just waiting to get him that additional rest, and I'm pretty confident that he's going to come back after that bye week. If you haven't heard me talk about high ankle sprains before, the difference between a high ankle sprain and a low ankle sprain is the type of ligament that's injured in it. It's the syndesmotic ligament, which connects the tibia to the fibula, those two long leg bones. And when that's torn, that tears an extremely stabilizing part of the lower leg. Whereas in a low ankle sprain, the ligaments that are torn, while important to stabilizing the ankle, they aren't the sole major protectors. And unless multiple ligaments are torn, then a low ankle sprain won't keep a player out most of the time. That's because there's three major ligaments on the outside part of the ankle, and there's one massive ligament on the inside of the ankle. Usually in low ankle sprains, the anterior talofibular ligament is the only ligament that's injured. So you think about it, you have three other major stabilizing ligaments. That should be pretty much enough to play through. Whereas the syndesmotic ligament is the major stabilizing ligament between those two bones. And when that gets injured, it's really hard to stabilize on that. And there's a really increased chance of worsening the injury with trying to play through a high ankle sprain, which is why you see a lot of these players tend to sit out when there is a high ankle sprain encountered. Sticking along that course of high ankle sprains, we can talk about AJ Green. And AJ Green had a severe high ankle sprain. With how long he's been out, it seems like it could have been a candidate for surgery as well too. They obviously opted to go against surgery, and now at this point in the timeline, they're probably just hoping that it has recovered enough that he can play through it. He is eyeing a week 10 return, and as long as everything stays status quo, I don't see any reason why he won't be able to return after the bye. Now, the risk for re-aggravation is possible with this high ankle sprain. I feel like the amount of time they took with it reduces that chance, but I mean, it's going to be hard to find trade value for him without him have played at all this season. So I would take the gamble on him. I would keep him. I would start him up. After you kind of see how he does on his return week 10, I'm not going to be plugging AJ Green into my lineup on week 10 after he missed 9 weeks due to a severe ankle injury in a putrid Cincinnati Bengals offense where they just benched their starting quarterback. So keep AJ Green on your bench, but the first week I'll fire him up is against the weak Oakland secondary in week 11. So Sterling Shepard, I talked about him at length in one of my Facebook posts, or sorry, Instagram posts on Fantasy Docs. And I also mentioned him in detail throughout my last week's podcast. So I'm not going to touch on him too in depth, but he is clear the concussion protocol, but based on the fact that he had two concussions that were extremely close together, they are being very cautious with him, as they should, because experiencing a concussion while possibly still recovering from a previous concussion puts you at a very high risk of post-concussive syndrome, or aka an extremely delayed recovery from the concussion, resulting in symptoms that last for weeks, even months, and has been documented for years, actually. So I have no problem with them being very cautious with him, as it is a very delicate topic and there is emerging evidence, but we would definitely want them to err on the side of caution. I had a question about Davante Adams, and Davante Adams is someone who I would no longer trade. And that's because I told you guys to trade him when this injury first happened, and you would have gotten very good trade value for him. I don't think there's any point in trying to get whatever bad offer someone's going to give you for Davante Adams when he's pretty much en route for return within the next week or two. I would rather take the gamble on Davante Adams and risking his turf toe recovery than trying to trade him for, I don't even know, like a Robert Woods or someone who's boom or bust and would just be a pretty god-awful trade. So if anyone out there has tried to trade for Davante Adams by offering Robert Woods, shame on you. You're a terrible person. And I hope everyone in their league just yells at you or hopefully come in last and have to do whatever punishment your league has. If you wanted to know more about turf toe, I did an extensive post about it on Fantasy Docs, but what it is it's a rupture of the ligamentous capsule around that big toe. It happens when the toe is hyperflexed, usually when launching off from a sprint or landing from a jump with your toe hyperflexed. It's an extremely slow and tedious recovery, and it requires surgery in a moderate amount of cases. It really has a high risk of lingering pain, and if you can imagine that the MTP joint of the big toe is very, very responsible for weight bearing, and having a chronic slow healing injury in that area is no bueno. All right, let's talk about Marquise Brown. I do anticipate Marquise Brown coming back after the bye. However, I am kind of concerned about that Lisfranc injury that he suffered before. We talked about it last week, that Lisfranc injury is a destabilization of the first and second metatarsal, which are the bones that extend in your foot from the first and second toe. They're extremely important in stabilizing your foot. And it also, like turf toe, has a significant amount of lingering symptoms and risk of re-aggravation. So although they're calling Marquise Brown's issue an ankle sprain, it sounds like he may have re-aggravated some stuff with that Lisfranc. Maybe he's got a high ankle, and that's the reason why he literally didn't step foot on the practice field for the past 3 weeks, and that's the only other explanation. But with the limited amount of information that we're getting, it sounds like maybe they're hiding something about that Lisfranc popping up. So I would use caution with him and monitor his progress closely and definitely have a backup. Second to last one we'll talk about is Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen had a hamstring strain. I predicted last week that he would not suit up because the hamstring strain occurred extremely late in the week. And hamstring strains usually take about 1 to 2 weeks to recover from at minimum. But Keenan Allen did suit up when I found out he was active. I still said that I wasn't going to start him just based on the risk of aggravating that hamstring. I don't know what you guys would consider my advice on that one, because I mean, if he's your wide receiver one, which he is most people's wide receiver ones, he only put up 8.8 points in half PPR. I don't think that's great. I hopefully would have had someone who could have done better than him in my lineup. So, I mean, I don't think it was the wrong move to bench him. Some people may disagree with me, but that's kind of how I feel. You guys can leave some feedback on that, depending on your opinion as well, too. I do think that he comes back this week based on the fact that he didn't have any kind of aggravation during the game, and he was able to come back relatively fast. So it seems like this was an extremely mild hamstring strain. So I'm confident about Keenan Allen suiting up. Last one I got is from someone who is definitely a 49ers fan, because I haven't heard anything about this player all year, but someone wanted to know about his injury. And it was Jalen Hurd. And Jalen Hurd was supposed to come back a little bit earlier. He had a back issue. There wasn't too much information about it. And then we find out later that it is actually a stress fracture. So a stress fracture in the back sounds pretty scary. And it is something that is a very lingering issue, but it's actually one of the most common injuries in football players. And that's based on the mechanism that they, kind of the way that they move, the, a lot of twisting motions that they go through. And actually a very well-known player last year had the very same injury, Carson Wentz. And we kind of know how that went for Carson Wentz. I will say that a quarterback's motion really predisposes them more to a spondylolisthesis and aggravation of that spondy more so than, say, a wide receiver. But like I said, it's a very common injury in football. There's about 15 to 21% of football players will experience this kind of injury throughout their career. There's a really good response to conservative treatment, so rest without surgery. But if the pain doesn't resolve after about 9 to 12 months of conservative treatment, or if there's a slipping of that vertebrae of more than 50%, then there will likely be a surgical referral. So the reason why he's been so out of everything is because the best results for optimal return are noted from athletes who stop sports completely and all high-impact activities, such as running or jumping, and any kind of activities that involves repetitive arching or rotation of the back for at least 3 months. He's probably been doing some physical therapy, which likely started about 2 months after he was resting. And the focus there is on core and low back strengthening. Even after full recovery, the fracture line actually doesn't even disappear from x-ray. So I do think that there's a decent chance of Jalen Hurd not coming back this season. It seems like he's not doing terribly well in his recovery, so that likely means that the pain is just lingering. He was placed on IR reserve, and I would imagine that they're prepping him for possible surgery in the offseason. So he was put on IR about 4 weeks ago. That would make him eligible for return around week 12, week 13. I'm not high on him based on this diagnosis and based on the timeline that he's exhibiting, but definitely not a stash candidate in my eyes. Okay. All right, everyone. That is all I have for you this week on this episode of the Fantasy Docs podcast. I hope you guys are continuing to enjoy the material that I'm putting out. Once again, if you have any kind of questions, concerns, feel like you have some improvements for me, just send me a message, DM me through Fantasy Docs on Instagram. If you like what you're hearing, leave me a review on the podcast. I'd appreciate it. And good luck to everyone this week. I wish you good fortune in the battles to come, for hopefully you're in this playoff hunt. Okay. Take care. Godspeed. Have a great week. Fantasy Docs out.